Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Our first guest today is the guy last Friday who really tipped us off to a trend that we have seen, and Virge Bernero, having gone from a double-digit runner-up, and you only need one, so runner-up doesn't do you any good, to being in the lead by at least 8 points, depending on which poll you believe. I've seen them numbers range a little bit, but that is Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Hello, Bill.
How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing just fine. I imagine Virge Bernero is too right now.
Well, he's feeling a lot better than he did early last week. I think by the time we talked last Friday, as you said, he was already feeling a lot better. And this week, another poll came out showing that he is indeed, you know, ahead of Andy Dillon by at least as much as you describe, and maybe pulling away. This might not even be close, but I still expect that it will be, and we'll find out on Tuesday night.
Bill, how many Michigan gubernatorial elections have you observed?
Well, when you say observed, I mean observed in the sense of being active in politics.
Yes, yes.
I guess you'd probably have to say at this point, count them up starting in 1966. Whatever that number is, that's what I've observed.
Amazing for someone still in his 40s. But in terms of in terms of the races that you can recall, have you seen maybe a more dramatic turnaround in a shorter period of time, or one that maybe wasn't measurable until it really kicked in?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, actually, remember Jeffrey Feiger back in 1998? That was only 12 years ago. He did come on very, very strong in a very short period of time at the very end of the Democratic primary in 1998. So, I mean, I think what Bernero is doing now is analogous. In fact, Feiger turned it around so quickly that I'm not even sure at this point in the 1998 Democratic gubernatorial primary, we could have said that he'd win.
Right.
I thought he would, and I predicted he would, but I was about the only one who did, and they just weren't taking as many polls. But you know what's really interesting, Jack, is that you not only have this Democratic race and
right.
what's happened to it, but at this moment, we still don't have a really solid idea of who's going to win the Republican nomination.
No, we don't.
That is really tight.
I want to get back to that in just a moment, but I want to make one more point about the Democratic race and what Virge Bernero seems to be on the verge of doing. And, Bill, that is, I can't imagine a candidate doing this with less money.
Well, that's true. Again, we've talked about this all spring long, that both Andy Dillon and Virgil Bernero got a late start. They didn't even announce their candidacies until February, a month after John Cherry, the lieutenant governor, pulled out of the race. So they got a very late start in recent election cycles. No other race that I can think of on either side, Republican or Democrat, has had the field formed as late as this one was.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that made it difficult for him to start raising money, particularly after John Cherry had spent a year raising $1 million,
right.
and then saying, "I'm not running." Virgil Bernero reported only 700,000 some on July 23rd. Dillon reported 1.4 million. Neither one of those totals are very good,
yeah.
In modern terms compared to the last previous gubernatorial elections. But again, you've got to remember there is other money that can be spent,
sure.
Like the Genesee County Democratic Party has spent over $1 million on behalf of Virgil Bernero.
Well, those two totals that you mentioned, I think Rick Snyder spent more than that of his own money, hasn't he?
Oh, he spent three times as much. I mean, if you add Dillon and Bernero's totals together, you got just over $2 million. Rick Snyder's already put in $6 million of
yeah.
his own money at least.
Well, it looks like he's putting it in the right place from the latest numbers, and we're going to talk with Bernie Porn of Epic MRA a little bit later in this show, but it shows Rick Snyder in the latest numbers now overtaking Pete Hoekstra and Mike Cox in a very close race. I guess, a four-way race even now.
Yeah, it's looking like, again, it's probably more of a three-way race with Mike Bouchard still lagging behind in fourth place, and I haven't seen the movement from him in Bernie Porn's poll that I thought I might see at this point.
Right.
So I think it's probably beyond reach for him. But the other three are almost in a three-way dead heat. The Epic MRA poll had a 26 Snyder, 24 Cox, and 23 Hoekstra. But if you look at most likely voters, Hoekstra was still ahead, 28%, Snyder 25, and Cox 23. Any way you cut it, any one of these three guys could win on Tuesday.
What's it going to be, a matter of which group, which ground forces get their voters to the polls, or are people going to make up their mind this weekend?
Well, I think it's going to be both. One thing to think about is turnout, and the prediction of the Secretary of State, Terry Land, is that 1.7 million will turn out. Now, that would be about a 22 to 23% turnout, which sounds pretty bad, and it is. But compared to other recent elections, it's actually pretty good. I mean, the last two were like 19% and 16% in 2008 and 2006.
Right.
So 22, 23 sounds robust by comparison. And the question is, where are these voters coming from? Remember, we have got open congressional primary races in the 2nd and 3rd District in West Michigan,
right,
which is Pete Hoekstra's backyard.
Yeah, that's a big advantage for him.
Yeah, they will probably draw a bigger turnout there proportionally than the rest of the state. And if most of those voters are for Hoekstra, which they will be, that'll enable him to build up a margin, which hopefully he can hold on to in the rest of the state. He's probably not going to win the rest of the state, but if he can keep his losses in the rest of the state to a minimum, keep the margin narrow to Cox and Snyder, he could win.
Our guest, Bill Ballinger, Inside Michigan Politics. And Bill, we're going to have Bob Filka on from the Michigan Association of Home Builders a little bit later, and he's going to make an allegation that there's some funny business going on with a negative ad, which implies that the home builders are endorsing Mike Cox, and certainly manipulating a statement, a piece of video with Pete Hoekstra. And I don't want to get in the middle of this food fight, but in light of what's just happened with Shirley Sherrod, I find it interesting that any campaign would try to misrepresent that way by messing around with some tape.
Well, I agree with you. I got to tell you, Jack, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I haven't seen that or heard about it. Are you saying it's a dirty trick by which campaign?
I'm saying that right now there's an allegation. It's not being made by Hoekstra's camp, but rather by the Michigan Association of Home Builders, that there is an implication that they are supporting Mike Cox in this ad when they are not, and also that a statement made by Pete Hoekstra has been edited to imply that he is in favor of a state sales tax.
Oh, I see. Well, has the home builders, have they endorsed anybody? Did they endorse Hoekstra or not?
No, we're going to find out in about a half hour.
Sounds like this is a breaking story, Jack, and you're right in the middle of it.
Hey, Bill, I got one more quick question for you. This goes in the quiz department. I'm going to give you 10 cities, and I'd like you to tell me what they have in common. Austin, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Houston, Kansas City, Missouri, New York, Portland, Oregon, Salt Lake City, Washington, D.C., and Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, boy. For a while, I thought it was state capitals, but that can't be. There are a few non-state capitals in there.
This is kind of the which one doesn't fit question, but
well, it sounds like the shocker would be Lansing on that list.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And but honestly, you got me stumped. I can't think what it would be.
Well, this is a new piece from Kiplinger, and Kiplinger.com ranks the 10 cities in the United States that offer exceptional opportunities for those starting out in life. And it breaks down each city, explains exactly why it deserves to be in the top 10. And this is going to have some head spinning like The Exorcist.
Now, wait, the top 10 cities for what now, did you say?
Top 10 cities for young adults to settle in terms of exceptional opportunities.
Okay,
and it breaks it down in terms of educational opportunities, cost of living, monthly rent, average annual wage, unemployment, percentage of Generation Y residents, and growing employers. Lansing, Michigan, one of the top 10.
All I got to say, Jack, is I'll bet you that's going to be the first ad out of the box for Virgil Bernero if he wins the primary. If you're mayor of, the city that makes the top 10 with all those cities you named, he'll play that up big time. No question about it.
Well, you know, I saw this just earlier today. Scott sent this to me. Scott, you saw this before I did. And I was just dumbstruck when I saw this.
Well, I mean, you would certainly think there'd be other cities in Michigan, even like Ann Arbor. What about Ann Arbor?
What about it? It's not on the list.
Yeah, I know. That's really kind of astounding. But look, we'll take good news any way we can get it, right, Jack?
our next call after the home builders is going to go to Kiplinger, Bill. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that'll be fascinating. I want to hear that.
Bill, before we let you go, very quickly, gun to your head prediction, who wins the Republican gubernatorial nomination?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it is really tough. Snyder does have momentum. He can close the deal. As Bernie Porn says, he's made up the biggest amount of ground in the last couple of weeks. I think Hoekstra, though, could win it. I'd say it's between those two. I'll give a slight edge to Hoekstra. Snyder second. And I'll say Cox simply as third because he's got high negatives and because all this stuff on the Manoogian Mansion in Detroit broke on Monday or Tuesday, right when Bernie Porn was taking his poll, but really before it could have really settled in, I think, as much.
All right. We know you handicapped the Kentucky Derby, and your trifecta for this race is Hoekstra, Snyder, Cox.
That's what I'd say right now. But honestly, I'd say it could go in reverse order on Tuesday. It's that close.
All right, Bill. We'll talk with you again on Friday. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
All right. We'll be right back with more. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.